Oh, say, can you see? This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening on this day after Election Day. Happy Kentuckian today is saying that his political compromise is suddenly sipping whiskey for the next 2 years. Listen.
Some things don't change after tonight. I don't expect the president to wake up tomorrow and view the world any differently than he did when he woke up this morning. He knows I won't either. We do have an obligation to work together on issues where we can agree. I think we have a duty to do that. Just because we have a two-party system doesn't mean we have to be in perpetual conflict.
Mitch McConnell, the Kentuckian, who in a few short months will be a Senate majority leader. The Senate majority leader. There's some votes that have to be counted. The votes say that the Republicans have taken control of the Senate. A real crushing victory. Seven-seat pickup. North Carolina, Iowa, who elects a woman for statewide office for the first time. Colorado, West Virginia, Arkansas, Montana, South Dakota. It was a good night for GOP governors as well. Solid gains in the House of Representatives. The Republicans returned to their biggest majority in the House since the 1940s. President Obama has invited party leaders to the White House on Friday to talk about what Congress can accomplish in the next 2 years. Let's see if he can get a word in edgewise at that meeting on Friday. The Senate race in Louisiana is the only one that will go to a runoff, and that's really a surprise. We thought many more runoffs were going to be taking place. We're going to be cliffhangers today. Not the case. Big money spent for these midterms, and for the first time, dollars were showered on some very beleaguered and caught off guard judgeships. We'll be talking about that this hour. It's another twist, yet another twist in the Citizens United narrative. But we begin now with Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and hope you've curried favor with Mitch McConnell over the last couple of years there, Todd.
Not necessary, but been covering McConnell a long time, and he's got some happy staffers and campaign workers, particularly his campaign manager who came from the Senate, who McConnell said threw a no-hitter in Kentucky.
And what does this mean, do you think, for the Senate? What's the style going to be? He's very, very different than Harry Reid.
Well, he is and he isn't. Mitch McConnell, as people have probably used to hearing, is a master tactician and a great strategist. Now, he's got some choices to make over the next 2 years, and the next 2 years are critical. Mitch McConnell is going to have several senators who want to run for president. He's got to set political votes that give them votes in the best position as possible. President Obama has to do the same thing on his side. Now, the question is, you heard that cut, the things that we can agree on. Both sides, particularly Republicans, who are also unpopular with the public because of their reputation for obstruction. John, now they're governing, and they've got to show they can govern. They need to pass a couple of things. Is that thing going to be sweeping immigration reform? No. I'm here to tell you that that's not going to pass over the next 2 years. The incentives on both sides are probably just not there. What can they agree on? Tax reform, corporate tax reform, probably. And it's looking increasingly like there are plenty of Democrats who would like to vote for the Keystone XL pipeline. That's probably going to land on the president's desk, and he's going to be under some pressure to sign that over the next 2 years.
He'll be under pressure to veto.
Or veto, and a lot of that is going to depend on Democrats who have to run in 2016 and where they want to be positioned on that issue. It's a pretty popular issue with voters, and they do know about it now because of the fights of the last 2 years. It's going to depend on what the Democratic nominee wants to do in terms of their positioning or potential nominee. The other big issue to watch is Obamacare. Can Republicans repeal it? No, they probably can't, and Barack Obama would never sign a full repeal, but there are some aspects of Obamacare that they can probably change and probably repeal that would land on the president's desk that Democrats want to vote for, things like medical device taxes and taxes on insurance plans and things like that.
And again, there'll be some pressure to veto. Who knows what the president will do, and there will be a 60-vote issue suddenly for the Republicans that was so much the case in the first 2 years of the Obama administration. Now, let's talk a little bit about McConnell's responsibility will be to try to compromise with the president. He's already said that. We played that cut. He's going to have to sort of keep the elbows out of his face from people like Ted Cruz, who are looking at 2016, Rand Paul looking at 2016, Marco Rubio looking at 2016. Anybody else in there?
Rob Portman of Ohio, potentially.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's another one.
And then there's the issue of the committee assignments. And the big one, it seems to me, is Cornyn in judiciary. Is that the case?
probably going to be Chuck Grassley, actually, of Iowa. Longtime 30-year Iowa senator, increasingly conservative over the last few years. A very different agenda, John, than the current chairman, Pat Leahy, the president pro tem of the Senate from Vermont. I think out are going to be a lot of hearings and legislation on voting rights. The stance on immigration is going to change. How will Chuck Grassley react in this interim period? Now, don't forget, the president has promised executive action on immigration. Hey, if he knows that Republicans are taking over the Senate in January, that makes that much more likely, even within the next few weeks. How will Senate Republicans react after January to that? And the other big issue in the near term is a replacement for Eric Holder at Attorney General and potential Supreme Court nominees. In the immediate term, Democrats will still be in the majority, and the president looks likely to try to get through an AG nominee in a lame duck session. How will Grassley react to that? Mm. And then later, over the next 2 years, will there be a Supreme Court nomination? I'm not sure that so much has changed in the Senate about that. Is there in this world, let's think about it real quick, is there in this entire world a Supreme Court nominee that this president, with his popularity and his relationship with Republicans, could nominate now that could get 60 votes? Does that change after January? Maybe not much. That would be one heck of a fight.
All right, I want to throw you a wild card. Listen to this.
Thanks to all of you, we are heading to Washington. And we are going to make them squeal.
Senator-elect Joni Ernst from Iowa. Does she have any sort of Sarah Palin kind of momentum in the Senate?
Well, she's trying not to. You know why? If you would have taken the Joni Ernst of 6 months ago, who came to this race with a really, really, really conservative stance, you would have thought there was maybe someone in a rhetorical Palin mode going to the Senate. She's moderated that throughout this race. She's made herself a mainstream Republican, John. It's a testament to how well Republicans vetted their candidates so that they didn't have far-right candidates who would win primaries and then lose generals. We've seen that movie before. They didn't do that this time. Joni Ernst is going to the Senate. Well, now she's won. She's got 6 years, and we'll see what her positioning is. But she's made herself mainstream.
Very interesting stuff. Todd Zwillick, thanks so much.
You got it.
All right, the GOP held on to some key governor's races, including the race in Kansas. KCUR's Frank Morris sends us this report.
The governor's race in Kansas was split three ways. Keen Umber, the Libertarian candidate, got 4%. Paul Davis, the Democrat, took 46%. Governor Sam Brownback took all the rest.
We won another 4 years!
Brownback says the vote is an endorsement of his deep income tax cuts and efforts to shrink government.
And I think that's what the state of Kansas, the people of Kansas, and the American people have said tonight. Ideas and direction matter.
Money matters too, though, and the campaign on behalf of Brownback outspent Davis by almost 2-1 when you count all the support from outside groups. U.S. Senator Pat Roberts won too, beating an independent named Greg Orman with the same style of tactics.
We said for months that the road to a Republican majority in the United States Senate led through Kansas, and we did it.
The real surprise, given the overwhelming advantage that Republicans have over Democrats in Kansas, was that both these races came down to the wire. For The Takeaway, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.
Thanks so much, Frank. We're going to have dispatches from people all over the country all hour long. And boy, that Orman story was way overrated by the pundits, that's for sure. And what's your political manifesto going into 2016?
My name is Robert from Minneapolis, and my strategy for the Democrats is to do everything they can to overturn Citizens United and get money out of politics, because the longer they go without doing that, the more it's going to work against them until they become obsolete and money takes over.
My name is Sharang. I'm calling from Orlando, Florida. My vision for the future of American politics is more of a focus on the long-term benefit of all Americans, less of a focus on blind partisanship, and less vitriol in discourse. But I guess that's asking for too much.
That's not asking for too much. Claire from Daytona Beach, Florida has the floor.
I hope that politics turns into a nonpartisan process. This polarized Congress, for example, there's just no progress because there is no room for ideas in the middle. So I hope that in the future we will have a political system that promotes candidates by their ideals and not the ideals of their parties or of the super PAC.
David writes on Facebook, America needs to update and then loudly proclaim its most famous founding phrase, all men are created equal. Wait a minute, men are created equal? Kimberly adds, America needs to be better at setting goals for the improvement of the lives of our citizens and working together as a country to meet them. The standards of living for the majority of Americans seem to be declining, although our technology advances and our overall productivity has increased. This needs to be remedied immediately. Thanks, Kimberly. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Be a part of the manifesto conversation. Also, facebook.com/thetakeaway.